Take care of Pacer. You're the only film girls in the world that are still in school. Nobody else is. I spoke to the Chevr in Shul this past Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol, about this Inyan. And I want to share it with you. Can you hear me? Is there a microphone? If you can hear me, you're able to hear? Not? I'll try. It's a little bit harder. I don't know if it can come over here. I just thought this. It doesn't look like it comes out. Maybe. Okay, good. Thank you. I usually try to end with a story. Let me begin with a little piece of a story. Before Rabbi Nachum Breslov left the world, he began to tell stories. I don't know if any of you have ever seen any of the stories of Rabbi Nachman. They're very, very deep. Every word is hinting, alluding to great mysteries in Kabbalah. But the stories can also be understood by people like us. They've been translated into many, many, many languages. And he has a story that if you have a chance, if you have the Sefer, the Sipurim Isaias, it would be kedai to look at the entire, to learn the entire story. In English, it's called The Exchanged Children. It's a whole story about a Ben Melech, there was a prince, and a Ben Shivcha, there was a servant in the palace. And at birth, something happened, and the two babies were switched. So the Ben Melech grew up thinking that he was the son of a servant. And the Ben Ashivcha, the son of the servant, grew up thinking that he was a Ben Melech, that he was a prince. And the story is a remarkable story of things being set straight. And at the end, I can't explain now what everything is miramis to, what the hints are. But just listen for a second. He came to a certain place. This is the true prince who was raised as the Ben Ashivcha. Came to a certain place, and no one understands. He was told no one understands the meaning of the throne with all its details and its paths. This will be your test. See if you can understand the significance of the throne and everything associated with it. They showed him the throne, and he saw that it was extremely tall. He went over to the throne and gazed at it. As he contemplated the throne, he realized that it was made of the same type of wood as the box. That's an allusion to the Aron in the Beis Hamikdash. He gazed further and saw that a rose was missing from the top of the throne. The rose means the Jewish people. The Jewish people belong at the top of the throne, just as the Ben Melech belongs in the palace. The Jewish people are called a rose. We're going to read now on Pesach Shir Shirim, Shoshanas Ha'amakim. The Jewish people are Hashem's rose, Shoshana Sa'amakim. Kishoshana ben Achoich. So the Ben Melech saw that the rose was missing from the top of the throne. If the rose were in the throne, then the throne would have the same power as the box. I'm not going into that right now. Then he gazed even more and noticed that the rose missing from the top of the throne was lying at the bottom of the throne. And the Jewish people in this world are on the floor, are degraded, are despised, are hated, and we ourselves are not the people that we're supposed to be. He would have to take it and place it on top. And then the throne would have the same power as the box. The late king, his father, had devised each detail with such wisdom that no person could understand its significance until an extraordinarily wise person came along who would understand the concept. He would then know how to exchange and arrange all things correctly. It was like a puzzle. And the test was to put everything in its place. And his father, the king, saw what was going to be, that the Ben HaMelech, that his son, was going to be lost in Golus and so on, and that he was not going to be accepted as the true Ben HaMelech. So the king devised this complicated thing, and only an extraordinarily wise person would come along, would understand how it works. He would then know how to exchange and arrange all things correctly. He then saw, the Ben Melech saw, the same is true, there was a bed. He understood there's all parts of the Beis HaMikdash. He understood that it had to be moved slightly from the place where it stood. The table, the shulchan, also had to be moved somewhat, and the lamp, the menorah, likewise had to have its position adjusted. The birds and the animals also had to be moved to different places, thus a bird would have to be taken from one place and set in another place. The same was true of all the animals. The king had cleverly disguised everything so that only a very wise person would be able to contemplate it and rearrange it correctly. It was about other things too. The king's son gave instructions that everything be rearranged properly, to take the rose from the bottom and insert it on top. Everything else was rearranged in proper order. And suddenly all the animals and the birds began to sing a very wonderful melody, and each one functioned properly. The king's son was then given the kingdom. The king's son, who had by now been crowned king, then said to the actual son of the slave woman, Now I understand that I am actually the king's son, and you are actually the slave woman's son. We're preparing for the Seder, for the Lel HaSeder. And Haseda means order. It means for everything to be in its right place. The rose of the Jewish people do not belong on the floor. You and I do not belong on the floor. The Ben HaShivcha, the son of the maidservant, belongs on the floor. The Jewish people belong on the Har HaBayis, in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ben HaShivcha, the son of Hagar, you understand what I'm talking about. The Yishmaeli belongs on the floor. And things are not now in their proper order. When you and I do things that we shouldn't do, something is out of order. That's not the Seder. All the ra, all that's evil in the world, all the pain and suffering in the world is the result of this bilbul between the Ben HaMelech and the Ben HaShivcha. So we're living in a world where those who are godly and those who are holy are despised, and those who are evil are elevated. And in our own lives, there's such tohu vavohu, our priorities are out of order. What's important? What are you and I looking for in our lives? Elokus, godliness, is often put at the bottom. And things of this world are placed on top. And therefore the Ben HaMelech knows, and each and every one of us is a Ben Melech, a Bas Melech, the Ben HaMelech knows that on a deeper level, a Jew really doesn't have to fight his entire life against the Yetzer Hara. He doesn't have to fight against evil. on a deeper level, everything is already here, just like in the story. The table, the shulchan, the menorah. Everything is here, but it's not in its right place. Things are out of order. And because of that bilbul, that tohu vavohu, there's terrible pain and suffering in the world. Geula, redemption, Mashiach, everything is here. Hine za'omed acha kaslein. And the entire avodah of a Jew in this world is to make seder, is to put things in order, to prioritize, to take away the dimyonis, the delusions, the fantasies, that give impressions, ki'ilu, the order is otherwise. And the moment that we succeed in doing that, then the wondrous nigun, the melody of the end of the story will be heard, which is the song of David Malka Mashiach, the song of David HaMelech. It's the song of Mashiach Tzikain, which is the Shira Chadasha, the new song, the Shira Chadash, that we're waiting to hear when Mashiach comes. Now, in order to understand this, and to bring it down very much to our world, to people like us, we need first to understand a little bit of what the bilbul is, of what the confusion is, of what tohu vavohu is. Every morning, the first bracha that we make in Birchas HaShachar, in the seder of the brachas of the morning, is Ashenosan L'Sechvi Bino L'Havchim Ben Yom Ben Laila. Nachon? Or some say, Hanosan L'Sechvi Bino L'Havchim Ben Yom Ben Laila. What does that mean? So the Siddur usually translates that the rooster has the wisdom, the understanding, to discern between the day and the night. And our grandparents, great-grandparents, they would wake up in the morning to the sound of the rooster, even though it was still dark at that time, but it was the sign that, otot, soon, the sun is going to come up. So we begin the day with that bracha. Ashenosan l'sech revina l'havchim ben yom ben laila. This is a Gemara in brachas and daf samach amud beis. And there the Gemara says, ki shoma kol tana goyla. The Gemara is talking about the seder of the Birchas HaShachar, which originally, the brachas was said as we would experience each step along the way. Now we say it in our tefillas and our brachas. But the Gemara says, when a person would hear the sound of the rooster, ki shoma kol tana goyla, leimu baruch hashenosan l'sech revina l'havchim in yom l'ad. When you hear the sound of the rooster, then you make the bracha. Hashenosan l'sech revina l'havchim, you're not going to hear that over here. There's no roosters, your trucks and whatever, you're not going to hear a rooster. But that's the source of the bracha. Ki shoma kol tana goyla. And Rashi explains in the Gemara that Sechvi means a rooster. In Arabic, Sechvi is a rooster. So according to the simple pshat in the Gemara and Rashi, the first bracha that a Jew says in the day is to thank Hashem that he made this funny little bird that has this wondrous ability to discern when other animals can't, to discern between the night and the day. Now the Rosh disagrees with this in one respect. Rabbeinu Osher says, the Rosh says that when you look in Tanakh, not in Arabic, but in Tanakh, in Lashon HaKodesh, Sechvi means the heart, means the lev. It says in the Pasuk, Mi nosan l'sechvi bina. Which we hear the bracha, right? Mi nosan l'sechvi bina. That means that the bracha is not being said over the sound or the intelligence of a rooster, but rather the bracha shenosan l'sechvi bina is that the heart has the capacity to understand the difference between hayoyim v'halayla, between day and night. What the Rosh explains is, it's true that Chazal were misaken this when we hear the rooster, but that's a simen ba'alma. You understand what it means, a simen ba'alma? It's just a sign in the world that the night is ending and the day is beginning. But the true meaning of the bracha that we're thanking Hashem every morning, Rabbi Shalom, I want to thank you for giving me a heart, a Jewish heart, that is able to discern between day and night. That's the takana of that bracha. And it's made when the rooster is making that noise. So it is strange, even according to the Rosh, it's strange. You know, the beginning of something that always is the essence. When you want, Reb Tzadik says in many places that when you want to know what a word really means in Lashon HaKodesh, you look for the first place it's mentioned in Tanakh. The first thought that you have in the morning has a huge impact upon the entire day. Your first year of marriage, all beginnings are crucial. So it's odd that the Psichas Hayom, the beginning of a Jewish day, I mean, Sof, there's so many things that we have to be grateful for, and we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. So strange to begin with something that a rooster knows, or a stam, an imbecile also knows the difference. And if he didn't know it then, so you can look at the clock and figure it out now. You look at the calendar. And this is the beginning. This is the brach that we make in the morning. Asher nosan l'sech v'bin l'havchim in yom v'layla. But what we're learning here is something very, very profound. Listen carefully. I have to be makatzer. There's more time on Shabbos. There's less time during the weeks. It's already almost Pesach. The day consists of two parts. Laila v'yom. Night and day. Vayi erev, vayi boker. That's how Hashem's world created the world. Vayi erev, vayi boker. And the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Pei Gimel teaches us that this is the Seder, vayi erev, vayi boker, is the way that Jewish people count time. The way that Hashem made the world, which is Bereisha Chashucha, first there was nothing, first it was dark. Vahadar Nahar. Vahi Erev, and then Vahi Boker. First there was Choshech Alpnei Tahom, there was darkness, and then Vayom Lekim Yihi Or. And then there was light. This Seder of first comes the evening, the night, and then comes the morning and the light. This is the Seder HaPnimi of creation. This is the Seder of the Ben HaMelech, of the Prince. The Seder of the Ben HaShivcha, of the Son, of the Maidservant, of the Umas HaOlam, of the nations of the world, is the opposite. In their way of defining a day, it's halayla harlech achar hayom. They first begin with the morning, and the day concludes with the night. The opposite of us. We begin at night, our day begins the night before. Leil Yom Kippur, Leil Pesach, begins the night before. By Korbanis, there's an exception. I'm not going to go into that right now. But that's how we count time. Vayi erev, vayi boker. The nations of the world, the Ben HaShivcha, counts first the morning, and then the night. Why is there this chiluk? Because this difference contains within it everything, mamish everything. It's the whole difference between the Ben HaMelech and the Ben HaShivcha. The pasuk says, "Bidchu b'Hashem adayad, ki b'ka yudhei, ki b'ka Hashem sur olam." That Hashem created, He formed two worlds with the letter Yud, which is the letter that with which Hashem created Olam Haba, and the letter He, which is the letter of the creation of this world, Bihi Baram, Behei Baram. This world was created with the letter He. The world to come, Olam Haba, is created with the letter Yud. Bidchu b'Hashem adayad, that a Jew should trust in Hashem always. Why? Ki b'yud hei, ki b'ka Hashem tzur olam. Hashem formed and created both worlds with these two letters, the Yud and the Hei. In Pirkei Avos, which is familiar to all of you, there you'll remember that the Lashon is Haskein Atzmecha b'prozdor, right? Put your act together. Get things going in the right way. Make good seder. Where? In the prozdor. The prozdor is the hallway. K'deshi tikonos l'trakelin. In order that you're able to come into the main event, to the great stadium, the place, the headquarters, the traklin, it's like a headquarters. You and I live our 120 years in this reality that's called the prozdor. It's a place that's leading towards. It's a road, it's a highway. It's on the way to the destination, to the place that we must get to. And our journey through the prozdor is referred to by our king as Yameinu Kitzel Oiver. Our days are like a passing shadow. And Rashi says they're not like the shadow of a tree that could be for a few hours in the day. Or not like the shade, the shadow of a building. But rather like the shadow that is made by a Of Pareach. Like when the bird flies over and for 1 second you can see the shadow of the bird. Yameinu Kitzel Oiver. Olam Hazeh, this world in the prozdor, was created for one purpose. Chazal said it in two words. Hayom la'asosa. This life in Olam Hazeh is in order to accomplish, to live lives of Torah mitzvahs. The traklin, the headquarters, the place, the point of our destination where we're heading towards. Chazal says, "Ulamacher lekabel schar." That's called "Ulamacher lekabel schar." That's after this world where we'll be rewarded for all of the hard work that we did while we were traveling through the prozdor. Zeh ha-seder. That's the seder. Chazal say, Mi she-tarach be-erev Shabbos. I'm talking Dvar Pshuta Ma'od. Very simple. Mi she-tarach be-erev Shabbos. The hallway is called Erev Shabbos. Mi she-tarach be-erev Shabbos. Those who believed in two worlds, and that this world is leading to the next world, and was Tereach the Erev Shabbos. This whole world, our entire life, which is Kitzel over, is called Erev Shabbos. And somebody who works hard Erev Shabbos, Yorchel b'Shabbos, he'll have what to eat by Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us very clearly. And above Metzia, the Gemara says, Olam Hazeh Doimer L'Laila. This world is compared to the night. And the world to come is compared to the day. So, chevra, the seder of the Ben Melech, the seder of the Ben Melech of a Jew, is that the Jew knows and believes b'emunah shleima that what we're in right now is the prozdor, and the prozdor is dark. And that darkness means that this is a world where one can expect there to be disappointments, difficulties, suffering, all kinds of unanswered questions, unbearably hard work, parnosa, raising children, bichlal, to be married, to be able to sustain a marriage, to see the children through, that they should grow up in the right way. But the Ben Melech believes, b'emunah shleima, that after that difficult time in the night, in the choshech, there's a time that will be forever of menucha, of tzaddikim yoyishvim v'atrosem v'reshem, the tzaddikim, amach kulim tzaddikim Hashem's children, all of us will be sitting with crowns on our heads, v'nenem yiziv ha'shechina, delighting the light of the Creator Himself. When the final morning of our redemption will come. And that will be Yom Shekula Shabbos U'Menucha L'Chai Olam, forever. There'll no longer be darkness, there'll no longer be suffering. Laila Kayom Yair. The night will be illuminated like the morning. There'll no longer be any moror. Bilam Avis L'Netzach, there'll no longer be any death and suffering. But the Seder of the Ben Melech is Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. Reisha Chashucha, first there's darkness, Vahadar Nahaira, and then there's light. The Ben Hashivcha, who despises us, the Ben Hashivcha, the child of the servant, who thinks he's the Ben HaMelech, who imagines and fantasizes that he's the Ben Melech. The Ben HaShivcha, the Seder, is the opposite of our Seder. By the Ben HaShivcha, the Seder is Halai L'Hoylech Acha Hayom. That means that by the Ben HaShivcha, this world is the playground where the person has to find all of his light. This is the world where one must conquer, achieve, be successful in matters of the goof of this world, because this is your one shot. This is the place of oinig, of ta'anu. This is the place of or. This is not a road that's leading up to. There's not a hallway reaching into. This is the tachlis. Afterwards is night. That's how they count time. Afterwards is night. Even those who believe in some concept of the world to come, for those of you who had the misfortune of studying these things, other religions know that there are very few who are going to benefit from the blessings of that world. Only chosen, select. But that world, even for those who believe in it, is a world primarily of darkness and misery and suffering. So the metzias of life is that each and every one of us is given a night and a day. Choshech, chashucha, darkness, and nahira, and light. And each and every one of us has to choose. We have to make a choice. What's your seder? What's your seder? The seder Lel Pesach is the seder We're not going to have time to go into all the different parts of it, but you know that it begins begins with pain and difficulty, confusion and darkness, until finally we get to Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu, and we say Hallel. Begins with being hungry, and it ends with a delicious meal. And the choice that a person has always is, what's your seder? The pitui, the seduction of this world, the inyan of the Ben HaShivcha, the voice of the Ben HaShivcha, the pitui of Olam Hazeh, of the prosdor, is very, very clear. When Yosef HaTzadik was in the house of Potiphar, so as you know, Potiphar's wife was trying to take the tzaddik, was trying to take the rose from the throne and to throw it into the dirt. Was trying to take the tzaddik. This happens to each one of us in life. Was trying to take the tzaddik and to throw the tzaddik down. And the Torah says, "Vayhi kedabre el Yosef yom yom." She spoke to Yosef to try to convince him to go with her, yom yom. Beikadabra Yosef, yom yom. From that world of Mashiach ben Yosef, that world of Yosef at Tzadik, also years later would be Mordechai at Tzadik, who comes from Binyamin. These are the children of Rachel. We're not going to go into that now, why the children of Rachel. But there also it says, Vayhi kedabram elov, yom yom. He refused to leave the Shah HaMelech. He was endangering his life and everybody else's life. The seductiveness of life in the prosdor, the attraction of life in the hallway, is that in this world, the other side does everything it can to give the impression of yom yom. Kilo ain laila. You understand? Don't worry about any night. After you die, there's nothing. The ikar is enjoy yourself while you're here. Every single time that you and I are confronted by the wife of Potiphar, whatever that means in your life at that time, it could be something that you're looking at, that you're tempted to look at, that you shouldn't be looking at, that Jewish eyes shouldn't see. Or you're tempted to say something about somebody that a Jewish mouth should never utter. Or whatever it might be, when it comes to Seder, or Tovavo, every single time that we make that choice, we either make it as the Ben HaMelech, as the Bas HaMelech, who believes Be'emunah Shleima in the Seder of Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker. It means, even though you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu before your eyes, and even though we can't see the other world, and we hear in the darkness of the prosdor of the hallway, and the whole world is saying, take this, enjoy this, don't hold yourself back. You're crazy. All you have is these years of your life. Enjoy yourself. And the Ben Melech, it's so hard. And the Ben Melech closes his eyes. The Bas Melech closes her eyes. And hears this world saying, Vayhi kedar bel Yosef, yom, yom. There's only yom. Enjoy yourself. But Yosef HaTzadik screamed. And Mordechai HaTzadik screamed and said to us and reminded us, Ein davar kazeh. There's no such thing as that. There's a seder. Everything has to be in order. And the order is, Reisha chashucha v'hada nahayra. That doesn't mean there can't be moments of pleasure in this world. That doesn't mean that chalila we have to all be miserable and suffer. But the seder is that if you expect to get everything here, and this is your place where you believe that you're going to find absolute fulfillment and happiness, you're going to live a very miserable and unhappy life. But al-karchach, it must be that a chelik of one's life, and there are many, many moments and times in a person's life where there's confusion and darkness, deprivation, difficulty. It means when you and I say no to something that's not good for us, even though the whole world says, go ahead. But you and I say no, even though we can't see Hashem. And even though we feel like we're mamish in the darkness, and the whole world makes fun of us, that you live in the dark ages. And the psychologist says, this is not healthy for you. Not a religious psychologist, but a psychologist says that this is not healthy for you. You're already 18 years old, you're already 19 years old. You're supposed to already live a normal, healthy life. You're not supposed to be saying no. Yosef HaTzadik says to the wife of Potiphar, Lo. Vayonas ve'etze achutza. And now we can understand the end and the beginning of the Seder. Let's first talk about the end. At the end of the Shmuz, we'll get to the beginning. The end of the Seder is Chagadya Chagadya. The Zabin Abba Bisrei Zuzah. It's a very ancient and holy piyut. There are many, many, many perushim that are written to it. Who is the Gedi? Who is the goat? Who is the Abba, the father? What's the meaning of betray Zuzay? Two Zuzim, two coins? So listen. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin. Ayin Zayin is an Ez, it means a goat. The Gemara says over there in the Ayin Zayin, Rabbi Zeira Ashkech Rabbi Yehuda Dahavit Koya Pischa Devei Chamur. Rabbi Zeira met Rabbi Yehuda standing by the door of his father-in-law. And Rabbi Zeira saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a very illuminated state. He was very happy. He was very, very in a very great place. Kol alma have amalei. And Rabbi Zeira saw this as an opportunity to ask any question of the mysteries of the universe of the world from Rabbi Yehuda. Normally, he would be afraid. But he saw that it was an opportunity to ask Rabbi Yehuda some questions that were bothering him his entire life. So this is the first question. My taima azi mazgan bereish. Why is it when the shepherd takes the animals out to pasture, why is it that the goats that are mostly black, why is it that they go in front? Vahada Amri and the lambs, the sheep, that are mostly white, they go in the back. That's the question. So the Mashiach says that even though he was using words of this world, he was Merames Le'el Yoinim. You understand what that means? He's talking about something very, very deep, something very mysterious. But Rabbi Yehuda understood the question. And he said, Amrullah, he said to him, Rabbi Yehuda answered Rabbi Zeira, Kibriyasa shel olam. Because this is how the world was created. This is the order of creation. The Bereisha Chashucha Vahadar Nahara. That first there is darkness and then there's light. That's how God created the world. Ve'er v'hibayke. So the dark animals, the goats, the Chagadya goes before the white lambs, the sheep. Because first there's darkness, the dark goats, and then there's light. The animals that are white. That's the Gemara. There are other questions. That's the first question. In many, many places in Tanakh, the Jewish people are referred to as Hashem's lamb, as Hashem's flock. goats, lambs, Hashem's flock. Se pezura Yisrael, Yimyo says in Perek Nun, that we are dispersed like the sheep, like the animals that have that they're not with the shepherd, they're all over the place. In Yechezkel, Va'aten Tzoni Tzon Marisi, Hashem says, you are my son. My sheep, my flock, who I watch over. David HaMelech says, in Tehillim also, Ayin Zayin. David HaMelech says over there, Nachisa Kitzayin Amecha V'yad Moshe V'Aaron, that Hashem gave the Jewish people, who are Hashem's sheep, his flock, to the shepherds, Moshe and Aaron, to watch over us. And there are many other places. So Chad Gadya. The Chad Gadya is the Jewish people who are unique, who are alone in this world. The Chad Gadya. The Gedi, the goat, the sheep, Hashem's flock. Chad Gadya. The Father is Hashem. The Zabin Abba. Hashem, our Father, loves us. He acquired us. He chose us from the nations. He made us His people. And therefore, it took place betray Zuzay. Because two Zuzim mean two coins, but it also means there are two directions, there are two places. Lazuz means to move. Betray Zuzay. You and I have two places in our lives. The Chad Gadya has two places where we graze, where we go. Trei Zuzay. One is Olam Hazeh, this world, the Prozda, and the other is Olam Haba, the next world, the Traklin. Vayera Vahiboik, remember what we learned a moment ago from the Gemara in Shabbos. That the black animals, the dark animals, were walking in front of the white ones. And Reb Zeira's question, why is it like that? Which is the question of you and I have in our lives. If Hashem loves me so much, why am I hurting so much? If Hashem loves the Jewish people so much, then why have we suffered more than any other nation on earth? Why is it that we're always in pain? Why is it there's so much disappointment and confusion? And remember, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kach b'yosu shel olam." There are two worlds. Reisha Chashucha Hadanahar, in the beginning there's darkness. It's for a short time. It's the time in this world. It seems to us like it's so long, but it's the Yemenu Ketzel over, like the shadow that's made by a little bird. But Hadanahar, then the white animals are at the end, which is Boika, which is the morning of redemption, which is Mashiach, which is what's going to be forever and ever. And when we live in this world, unfortunately, because of the darkness of the Vayi Erev, all we could see is Vasa Shunra V'Achla Lagadya, Vasa Kalba V'Achla Shem, Vasa Chutra V'Hikla Kalba. Those different stages that take place in the Chad Gadya, which is the way that we conclude the Seder, Lil Pesach. There are many Mefarshim that talk about what those mean. Each one means a different nation that has tried to hurt us and exiled us and so on. There's a lot to talk about, it's not for now. But for our understanding tonight, it means that in that world of Vayi Erev, of the darkness of the night, there are cats, there are dogs, there are sticks, fires, axe, all the way to the Malach HaMavis. How do you explain to a child that his mother died? Lo Alei. How do you explain to a mother that the child died? That V'Osa Malach HaMavis, V'Shocha L'Shoich, the Osa Malach HaMavis, is the greatest darkness in this world, is the Malach HaMavis. But the Ben HaMelech believes in the last piece of the Chad Gadya, which is what? V'asa who? V'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'shocha l'malach ha'maves. No more black sheep, no more black, no more dark. Only vayi boker ha'danahayra. And that boker that morning is reserved for his children who live through the darkness of this world, live through the shunra, the chutra, all that stuff, never, ever, ever stopping. Always believing that in the end, it's going to be good. In the end, it's going to be Yom Shekula Shabbos Mulchai Olam in a way that we can't possibly understand. We can't possibly imagine. Chagadye, Chagadye, Dezaban Abba Bisrezuz. And now we can understand something that's a great mystery to all of us. There's not enough time. I'm not alone. I don't know if I can go a minute or two past eight. I don't want to, if you have class or something. I don't know what's going on over here. But I have to try to stay in this man. One of the greatest mysteries is that the emphasis is that life has never really been better for us as it is now. There's still stuff going on in the world. But life has never really been as easy as it is now. Somebody showed me an advertisement in one of the from newspapers or magazines that not only can you go to Florida for Pesach, but they have a special service that will drive your non-Jewish shivcha to go help you out while you're suffering in the sun in Miami or in Orlando. Another newspaper ad that was shown to me yesterday by my wife was an ad that said, there's enough to worry about Pesach, why bother kashering? And there's a service that you can hire just for a few $1,000, and they'll come and they'll boil your pots for those few lo yutzloks that are remaining who don't have the money to get to a hotel and still want to make a kosher Pesach at home. So they have a special service. Why bother? We'll come and kasher your pots for you. We'll get everything ready for you. Don't worry, you're not going to have to. Like there was an advertisement a few years ago showing people who go to the hotel, they have the schus to be able to sit by the pool Erev Yontif, sipping on a drink. And it shows another picture while people are schlepping and carrying things in the house back, the miserable Jews that have to remain at home for Pesach. Cleaning for Pesach. Life has never been as good as it is now, but there's one thing that's missing in such a way that it's never been missing the way that it is now, and that's Chedva Sachai, Simcha Sachai. Most of the world is on antidepressants, anti-anxiety, medication. They're drugging little children who are unhappy, 7-8-year-old kids. I deal with these things with the parents, 7-8-year-old kids, that they're giving drugs because they're too happy running around the classroom. And the teachers can't deal with it. And the teacher herself is on lots of medication. We're living in a very fragile and brittle world. And even Shabbos and Yontif, what's going to be? It's a 3-day Yontif. God did such a thing to us. He made 3 days Yontif. My hair is going to be oily. How could God do this to me? How could He put a Jew through such choshech, through such difficulties? What if I meet my boyfriend and my hair is dripping or something? What's going to happen to me? The shidduch will be off. Never before has there been such unbelievable atzus, sadness. Young people walk around, they look like they're carrying the whole gullus, dragging their feet, not being able to get out of bed in the morning. It's a mystery. Life is good, Baruch Hashem. I mean, there are sorrows, kiyadua. Hashem should help every person. Every sorrow they have, chalila, should be only good. But life, for the most part, is better than it's ever been before. When I spoke to my father, I remember he should live me well. This past Erev Shabbos, my daughter made a little surprise birthday for my father, 95th birthday. Kneinar. He went to camp when he was young. Some of you went to camp, right? But the place he went to was called Matthaus. None of you ever heard of it. And my mother went to a camp that was called Auschwitz. And we made this little birthday. And when I called my father, when the World Trade Center, that horrible morning in September when the World Trade Center, the whole thing happened with the FBI in the World Trade Center. I didn't have a phone where I was. I was in the shul learning, and I ran to call up my parents, and I said, "Daddy, we hear what's going on here." My father said, "I heard, do you know any people that, you know, if they're Yidden over there?" I said, "They're Mustama, they're Jews also there. It's, of course, it's a busy place." And then my father, and I was going on and on, "Daddy, what's going on?" And they went to the FBI, and my father said, "Things like that happen." My father said, "Life is not easy. Things like that happen. What are you getting all fahetz? You know what I mean, fahetz? You're getting all like perspired. You're getting all worked up," my father said to me. "Because I'm not used to bad things happening. Like, I had a girl years ago that went to this school. I didn't know who she was before, but she called me up and she was crying to me on the phone. I didn't know who she was. I said, 'What happened? Well, who are you?' And she was sobbing. I said, 'What happened to you? Who are you?' And she starts to cry and she says to me that my grandfather died today." I said, "Baruch Dain Emes, sorry. What? He was also 93, 94. And then she said to me, "How could Hashem do this to me?" She said, "I don't know how I'm going to daven after this happened to me." I said, "Your grandfather is 93, 94 years old." I said, "Honey, I never had a grandparent in my life, you know. My grandparents were in those camps because they didn't get out. I never had a grandparent. You had a grandfather for 93? Ashrech, ashrech. Cherish every moment that you had and remember him and look at pictures and kiss the pictures. What a fortunate person you are. Life has never been so good for us." When my father said, "Things like that happen, you know, buildings fall down, people get killed, what are you going to do?" It's not because he's heartless. It sounds like he's heartless. My father's the most compassionate person I've ever met in my life. He's not heartless. He's heartful. But he never expected this world to be easy, you understand? Because he went through stuff. And because of that, every moment of his life is treasured, it's beautiful. My mother and my father, they live mamish in a Gan Eden. There's no time because there's an article that I saw that was quoted in Mishpacha magazine. There was an article that it was a professor in Columbia Law School wrote called "The Tyranny of Convenience." He quotes this article. And he says, growth, he says, given the growth of convenience as an ideal, as value, as a way of life, it is worth asking what our fixation with convenience is doing to us and to our country. I don't want to suggest that convenience is a force of evil. Making things easier isn't wicked. But we err in presuming convenience is always good, for it has a complex relationship with other ideals that we hold dear. Though understood and promoted as an instrument of liberation, convenience has a dark side. With its promise of smooth, effortless efficiency, it threatens to erase the sort of struggles and challenges that help give meaning to life. Created to free us, it can become a constraint on what we are willing to do, and thus, in a subtle way, it can enslave us. We're enslaved by convenience. We're enslaved by a world of vayikadabra, of yom yom. Everything's supposed to be easy in this world. If your computer takes another 3 seconds than the girl next to you, oi, 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 I'm already behind. If I can't get that thing in 3 seconds. This chevra here, you don't even remember when we used to be, maybe the teachers remember, we used to stand in line sometimes on an Erev Shabbos to get in the bakery for an hour. And they would pull down a string to wrap the cake in a box. And I would stand over there and I would say, "My name is Weinberger." And my mother said, "You should bring me fresh things from the back. Don't give me this from over here." And she would say, "Weinberger." Oh, and she'd go to the back. And then they have to put into a machine, because they were afraid of my mother, not me. I was a little kid. And they put into the machine, the Mandelbrot, and you'd have to stand there for an hour. There's no ordering online. You stood online. You understand? There's no ordering online. You just stood online. And Jews who were online to the gas chamber, because my mother was online, she was liberated when they were online. And Jews who were online to the gas chamber, or even Jews like many of your parents and grandparents who didn't have everything in the tyranny of convenience, where everything was yom yom, where if my grandfather who's 94 dies, I can't daven. Where if my fingernail breaks, my day is ruined. Where if things don't work out just so, I'm miserable and unhappy. How could people be happy in such a world? If you think that the prozdor, if you think that the hallway is the final destination, if you, God forbid, get switched, the Seder gets switched with who? With the Ben HaShivcha. Kilu, this is the place where everything has to work out. There's not supposed to be any choshech in my life. I'm supposed to go out maybe with two guys tops and then fall madly in love, have a gewaldige engagement. The nicest in-laws, they're waiting on me, mamish. Everything is gewaldig. Everything is perfect. My kids are going to be mamish perfect. No resource room, no special ed, nobody's shirt coming out, nobody's nose running. Perfect. My parents are going to agree with everything I believe in. My husband's going to be living in a world of Dayenu, 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 everything you do for me, I appreciate everything you do for me. Ah, you put on another 30 pounds since we got married, and you don't look the same way you used to look. You're as beautiful to me as the day we stood under the chuppah, right? So the reason that the world is so miserable now is because everybody's living with unbelievable expectations. That this world is a world of yom yom, vayikadar love yom yom. Kilu, it's not reisha chashucha v'hadanayra. Kilu, everything you're going to get is here in front of your eyes. And now we can understand the beginning of the day is with the bracha. And the Rosh says it's talking about the Jewish heart. And we're saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, this day, help my heart understand. Give me an understanding heart to make that discernment between the night and the day. Rabbeinu Shalom, help me know that even while it's dark, help me to believe that the sun is going to come up. Help me believe that this is not it. What I'm in is not it. That there's something infinite that's waiting for me. Help me believe in the morning after the night. This, what's extraordinary about that rooster is that Hashem made this creature in the world, that while everything else is asleep and everybody else thinks it's mamish dark and the darkness is going to go on forever, there's this funny little creature that all of a sudden starts to go cock-a-doodle-doo and starts to scream. And that unique animal was given somehow this koyach to recognize while it's still dark. To recognize and to believe be'emunah shleima, not that it's an animal that has that emunah, but to be able to feel the light coming while it's still dark. That's what the sechvi has. That's the bina shebelayv. And therefore we end the Haggadah, the Seder Leil Pesach, with Chag Gad, you hold on. Hashem says, Kindlech, hold on. I know that there's a shunra, there's a kalba, the cat and the dog, and I know you've been through all this stuff. Hold on, just hold on a little bit longer. V'osa kodesh baruch. V'shochet l'malacham ovis. And every single malacham ovis that ever spilled a drop of Jewish blood is going to be shechted. You understand? V'osa kodesh baruch v'shochet l'malacham ovis. And we begin the Seder Leil Pesach with holach ma'anya. And we say, Hashata hocha, I'm a Jew and I believe that even though right now I'm here, and whatever that here is, it's a hard place because it's not Yerushalayim with Mashiach. Hashata hocha, hashata avdei. Right now, I'm far away from Yerushalayim, and I'm a slave. I look like the Ben Hashivcha now, but l'shon haba ba'arad Yisrael. But I believe with all my heart that it's only the darkness before the morning, and l'shon haba ba'arad Yisrael, l'shon haba b'nei chayim, will be free, free forever, free from our enemies, free from everything. So let me just share with you one thing that happened, because I don't have time to tell you a longer story. One thing that happened at this little surprise party for my father. First of all, my father doesn't believe in birthdays. So that's why it has to be a surprise. It's not because for fun we do that. He thinks surprises are silly American things. He doesn't like surprises. I once surprised him by coming home from yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael. 2 days earlier, I wanted to surprise him, and I went to pick him up from the train station. And when he saw me, he started running, and he hugged me. And then he looked at me, and he said, "Don't ever do that stupid thing again." It's a true story. I said, "What?" He said, "Well, What? Why you couldn't? Why didn't you tell me when you're coming? I said, it's a surprise. He said, it's a surprise. They don't like surprises. So we had this little birthday thing by my daughter's house, and all the kids were in school. It was just the kids. And there's a song that my kids grew up with. I have six girls and a son, Baruch Hashem. And they know how to sing. I can't, but they do. And my wife was like the conductor. And there's a song from Chaim David that we loved so much. We still do. But I miss the times when they were all little and we sang it together. Now they already have their own flocks. But when they were little, we sang from Chaim David. I don't know if you know the song, Mizmor Lasoda. Haril Hashem Kol Haaretz. It's a gewaldige song. And the kids all sang that song. And in that song, it says the words, Ki Toiv Hashem Lo'olam Chasdo. Vador Vador Emunosa, right? Ki Toiv Hashem Lo'olam Chasdo. Hashem, you're good. Your kindness is forever. Vador Vador, from generation to generation, Emunosa. So this little birthday party was like 11:30 in the morning. It started like at 10:15, 10:30. And I said, after the kids sang that song for my parents, so I said, Daddy, you hear this, Daddy? After all of these years, Baruch Hashem, you hear this, Ki Toiv Hashem Lo'olam Chasdo, the kindness of Hashem, that Mommy, Daddy, that you're here with us after what you went through, and Vador Vador, and also to see your children, and to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren you never thought you were going to live. I said this to my father. My father looked at me. His eyes were a little bit red. He doesn't cry. His eyes were a little bit red, and he just said to me, it's 11:30, it's almost Shabbos, 11:30 in the morning. He said, it's almost Shabbos, let's bench. Soon it's Shabbos, my father said. So ever since I heard that the other day, I was thinking, I took it as a bracha for my father. As soon as Shabbos. I give each and every one of you a bracha that we should be zeichet to be together by that Shabbos. We should tarach be'erev Shabbos. Don't give up. Whatever each one of you and myself, what we're going through, hold on. Atat, soon, soon. Soon it's going to be. Yemei chayecha hayomim. Yemei chayecha halaylas. Kol yemei chayecha. We should be zeichet to see it. It should be soon with the Glashan V'Amitis. Amen. 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 Amen.